Northwestern Medicine, relentless in their pursuit of better health care. Learn more at nm.org/better.
Dr. Clyde Yancey's in our studio. He's the chief of cardiology and an associate medical director of the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Medicine. Doctor, thanks for coming into the studio.
John, thanks for the invitation. Happy to be here.
So what does that mean you do? Are you a cardiologist? Are you a surgeon? Do you operate on people's hearts?
No, I'm more in the cognitive space. That is to say, thinking about what puts people at risk for heart disease? What's the right diagnosis? What's the right intervention? How do we manage people? How do we take care of people longitudinally? If you will, as a cardiologist, I start at risk, work through disease, and take care of people throughout the continuum. My surgical colleagues do other interventions, but we really think that we encompass the entire patient and the entire patient experience to lead towards a healthier heart.
Maybe if we better listen to you, we wouldn't need them.
You said it, not me.
Yeah, hey, them. We're happy you're there. Because people don't listen enough to maybe the yous. So what's the message? What would you, if you wanted people to know one thing about their heart health, would you want them to hear?
Well over 80% of heart disease is preventable. Choices we make, volitional activities, things that we select and choose, have a great bearing on our cardiovascular health. Yes, there is a family history and there's a genetic component. But truly, John, over 80% of the heart disease we treat that requires surgery, that requires medicines, is preventable. And I think if we can start from that set point, a lot of people can own their heart health.
I don't smoke, and I know we know you shouldn't if you do stop. But what after that? What's the next step?
It's interesting you said that, John, because we've recently articulated eight things. We call them the essential eight, we being the American Heart Association, that really identifies how you can have best possible heart health. You're correct. Don't smoke. Have an appropriate weight. Be physically active. Not necessarily exercise, but be physically active. Manage your diet. Make certain it's heart healthy. Know your blood cholesterol level, your blood sugar level. Know your blood pressure. So vitally important. And number eight, get appropriate amounts of rest. We call those essential eight.
Eight is a little surprising to me. Are you? I mean, really, I think that, I don't know, I don't know that Americans are very good at rest.
So that's why it's been elevated. But, you know, let's pivot to what we're doing locally here at Northwestern, because I think that hand in hand helps people march towards better health and better health outcomes, particularly when we think about health equity.
What do you mean by health equity?
Health equity is a commitment that we as an institution and we as practitioners are making. It says it should be, without question, open and available to all persons in our community, regardless of circumstance, to achieve their best possible health, to receive the highest quality of care, and to expect the best possible outcomes.
We don't do that?
We don't do that, but not intentionally. There was a time where it was intentionally, but we don't do that intentionally.
Are you saying excluding populations from health coverage or health care?
Not excluding, but recognizing that not everybody starts at the same place. And that difference is attributable to the way in which we live. Health and living circumstances based in the community are very important. So we as scientists, I'm a clinician scientist, now have to understand more about what's happening in the community. And our institution has to embrace that whole body of knowledge to realize that if we intend to elevate the health profile of everyone, regardless of circumstance, we need to have a deeper understanding of what's happening in the community so everybody can exercise those essential aid measures of health.
So what do you see? What are the failings here?
So let's get right to the heart of the matter. We've learned the hard way, and I mean through the pandemic, that what greatly influences everyone's health is this very sterile sounding term or phrase that says social determinants of health. But if we break that down, what we begin to understand is that our own life and living circumstances have a much greater influence on our health than we think about. For example, your education level. For example, do you have a job? How secure is your housing situation? How much stress do you feel in your own community? Do you have any components of financial toxicity? What's the stability of your housing? All of these things come together and impact your health.
None of that surprises me, though. So what's the fix? I mean, I think people that are economically disadvantaged don't want to be economically disadvantaged. They'd like better health care. What's the first step? How do you solve that?
So first, John, let me surprise you. If you look at all persons who seek health care, depending on the group of individuals, up to 70% of people have at least one social determinant of health that is not favorable. And what science teaches us now is that the exposure to these adverse social determinants really predisposes to certain biological conditions like diabetes, like high blood pressure, that becomes manifest as heart disease. So let's acknowledge that there are some eureka moments here when we start looking at this and realizing how many people are at risk simply because of their social circumstances. It is tantamount to smoking, something we started our conversation with. But let's move on to the next part, because the first intervention is just simply raising awareness and identifying it. We have a screening project at Northwestern right now that was methodically created through community engagement, where we've now screened 90,000 patients, and we've identified 18% that have a true burden of adverse social determinants, and at least half of them have requested readily available free services in the community. So that's the difference. Before, we were not divulging this risk profile. Before, we were not referring people to the resources that would help. These early social interventions might make a difference in the burden of disease.
Are you saying that in the past, a Northwestern or any hospital would, a medical center would open the doors and say, we're here, but how proactive were you in going out into the community, identifying people that needed better care or better information, and then providing that to them? It sounds like you're saying this new generation of Northwestern is more proactive.
It's the new generation of American medicine, because what we're beginning to understand is that it's not just your vital signs that make a difference in how your health comes forward. It's not just your risk factors, which we describe traditionally. It's including your zip code. That makes a big difference. And we never put that in the equation before.
But here again, as I said a moment ago, that doesn't surprise me. That is, if I went to the South or West Side, I think I would easily find people who are not taking advantage of the great medical community we have in Chicago, in part because they don't have insurance. They don't have the money. Maybe there's, I don't know what else, but what am I missing here? I mean, that's the problem, isn't it?
So it's one step up the food chain from what you just described. Why don't they have the resources? Why don't they have access to care? What is it about the hardwiring of their community? What is it about the design of their life that has prevented them from accessing services, prevented them from flourishing, prevented them from thriving in a way that they could get there?
Answer that question. What is it?
So we like to think that there's something called the built environment. And when I say we like to think this, we like to believe that the research tells us that the way in which services are hardwired in communities really does impact health, education, and economy being big part of those. And the important part of this is that that influence starts in childhood.
In childhood? What do you mean?
So children start off at a disadvantage when nutrition, education, and housing are not adequate.
Is there a social factor here? Do families look at one another? Do communities look at their members and say, hey, guys, we need to do better collectively? Is there anything to that?
Well, there's an aggregate, John, because there are the straightforward things like you should get your blood pressure checked.
Yeah.
You should avoid tobacco. But there's also this network, a community that says we need to lift each other up. We need to provide community services. As this day goes on, you'll speak to persons from the community that are trying to fill in that space.
Dr. Clyde Yancey is the Chief of Cardiology and the Associate Medical Director at the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Medicine. We're talking about this on the radio today here at WGN. In fact, we're going to meet one of those people in the next hour and find a little bit about how that happens. So stick around for that.
We're broadcasting live with physicians from Northwestern Medicine to talk about building stronger communities by helping to remove barriers to better health. Here's John Williams.
Yeah, this is a special day for us at WGN Radio that we planned a long time ago. We're still keeping our eye on the other news stories, but I'm intrigued and also happy to hear what Dr. Clyde Yancey is saying, the Chief of Cardiology and the Associate Medical Director at the Bloom Cardiovascular Institute at Northwestern Medicine. I know a lot of you are too, if for no other reason, because this man's voice is like chocolate velvet or something. It's just, it's...
Okay, let's get to the next question.
But it does say something to me about bedside manner and about the demeanor, about the sort of way that a doctor relates to people. My parents are still alive. They're not as young as they once were. So we've had a lot of experience with doctors, and the way a doctor comports him or herself, just their attitude and demeanor, is to me as important as the science they're laying on my family.
So, John, you realize that's part of our conversation, because the way in which people engage with the healthcare system is driven largely by the interpersonal encounters, whether it's with the first person at the door when someone arrives, yeah, or the physician at the bedside or the nurse at the bedside. A great bearing on how effective the communication is, how appropriate the directions are given, and how comfortable the directions are received. And so there is this other phenomenon of health equity that has to do with at least cultural awareness, so that when you are visiting with a patient, you can be aware, cognizant of how they're processing information, how they receive information. So bedside manner is not just a style, it's a necessity.
Yeah, I mean, I've seen them chip, 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 bark, 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 say stuff, and my parents don't know what they just heard. And frankly, we don't know either sometimes. And then we end up having to interview the caretaker, the nurse, the physician, the specialist, whatever. You know, God bless them, I'm glad they're there, but I wish they would better appreciate sometimes that this is vital information for us. We've never been in this situation before, and how you present it is
so important.
By the way, so health equity.
Sure. You know,
we just spent 20 minutes prior to the news talking a little bit about that. It seemed to me like what health equity is a conversation that you're talking about Northwestern being proactive and all of us needing to maybe better understand this, but it sounds to me like this is a conversation for J.B. Pritzker and Lori Lightfoot and the city council and the state legislature, right? I mean, whatever we're talking about here, aren't you saying that individual health is somewhat predicated on the health of the state, health of the community, and that's economic, that's educational, it's all of these things, right? They all lead into how healthy I'm going to live, especially if I don't have maybe all of the resources that I would like to have. Well, so how's the state of Illinois or the city of Chicago doing on that?
So think about what you just said. The interconnectedness of the community, the society at large, our government, our governance, and our health. We can't avoid that interconnectedness, and we all have a stake in this equation. And so absolutely, there needs to be clear communication between public health experts, physicians, healthcare leaders of major healthcare systems, and those in the legislative policy workplace, so we can understand the ramifications of all of these decisions. That's exactly right.
So when you're telling them, hey, we need more money for this or that, or we need to raise taxes, or we need better roads or whatever, I mean, not to belabor the point, but you're saying that all of those things, one way or another, impact your health, your heart health, your physical health.
Not only that, because I do want to belabor this point, when we have to make the fix on the back end, when someone's in my ICU critically ill, think about how much less it would have cost on the front end, mm-hmm, to really create an environment in which the access to health would be different. So there's an economic piece of this that we haven't discussed that over the long term not only makes fiscal sense, but actually contributes to our health and well-being, including our economic well-being, because we have more people that are engaged, that are working to contribute to the well-being of our society.
Wasn't that the principle of HMOs, that we'll go ahead and pay for your health maintenance, we'll help subsidize maybe the gym that you go to or whatever, so that you then don't need medical care down the road?
I would rather think that really is the substance of early childhood education, appropriate nutrition, access to fruits and vegetables, creating park space, recreational space, having easily accessible, safe public transportation. I think the gravitas of those kinds of social developments have so much more benefit than a singular entity that proposes to do everything. I think if we move upstream and think about true solutions that have a longer-term payoff measured in decades, eventually we'll see some diminution of these inequities.
How's Illinois doing?
about like every other state, because this is a comeuppance that's just good. Occurred. That's exactly right. Yeah.
This is a comeuppance. I'm sorry.
This is a comeuppance that's just occurred, with people just becoming aware that, oh, by the way, it's not just having mass blood pressure screenings. Oh, by the way, it's not just bringing people in and talking about cancer. Both of those are terrifically appropriate things. It's actually, again, taking it one step upstream.
Do you think that the crime epidemic in Chicago is related to all of this?
Remarkably, and that's a conversation for another day, and I'm happy to do that with you, but remarkably, there are at least some biological underpinnings for at least eruptive, and some would say violent behavior. And there may be some intersectionality between some of these root causes that are amiss in social communities that predispose not only to poor health, but predispose to poor behavior. But that's a very different conversation.
Okay, we'll have that another day. It's 11:15 on WGN. And by the way, I want to just put one other person in the conversation this hour. Let's spend a few minutes with Terrell Burgess, who is the principal at Westinghouse, right?
Right.
And you all have a connection with Westinghouse then?
Do we have a connection? You want to watch me celebrate on the radio? I mean, Northwestern Scholars, the kids that I've been working with for 11 years, the program is 12 years old, it's the greatest story I've ever been able to tell.